I assume that this was a limitation at all, but if not, then there's also social media to do that. But you're all welcome. Don't feel bad if I didn't ask you to introduce yourself. We try to save time. Okay, over to you, Seth.
Thank you very much, Chair Seven, honorable members. The presentation will be run by Mr. Vikram, who is the Chief Director managing the public service bus program in the Department of Public Service Administration. And she will be supported by myself and Ali Manuel Homu, who is also from the Civil Union Branch in the chapter. Through you, Chair Seven, I would ask Veronica Mutara to take the commission.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and members, colleagues. Good morning. I'm quickly going to take you through the public service month that took place during the month of September in 2016. But also just to indicate that every day, actually, the service delivery day for the public service, just that in September, we tend to highlight and highlight that public service going to the people. We dream that during the month of September, basically, September, we think that the public service, you know, we are changing, we are going out there, you know, just hiking. Our program to the people. We seek to highlight government provision of services to the people. We also showcase the self-dedication, commitment, and the kind of work that the public service is all about. One of those things, the reason why we're doing this is because, you know, public service may take for granted that people know about the programs and services of government. You know, people just struggle to or maybe some of them may not necessarily know about the things that we say are basic. The theme for this year was moving South Africa forward, taking them to the people. It feels a public service award kind of program. It takes place across this year where all the national departments as well as provinces are coming up with their individual programs. We also really have national programs where we come together in public service. But what is critical about this is that every department, every program do have its own program in response to what are the issues on the ground. The teaching for the month basically included identifying the moving service device blockages that are always there, helping to unblock the red tape, you know, making sure that people know what it is that you need to do when, and also re-educating your battle daily, basically leaving battle daily in this program. The significance of the program for 2016 was that it also started to provide a feedback and progress of the 2015 to ensure that there's continuity. In 2014, colleagues, I mean, honorable members, there was a roadshow where the then minister went to, you know, meet with the frontline officials on the question of reinventing how public servants would do their work. The public servants of the frontline were asked themselves, they asked the question today, what is that we need to do differently? Their policies in government, their legislative framework, their framework that enables them, as far as supposed to be able to do the work, and yet we are struggling to deploy the front line. There are a lot of issues that the front line officials themselves raise, and then out of those issues that they raise, we develop an integrated front line development implement program, which we will actually monitor over the next 3 years to ensure that we deal with the issues that that emanated from those disengagements. The rationale basically for the public service month is to ensure that we address the environmental situation there, we ensure that the reforms that are being made in the public service are developed or trickle down to the ordinary person on the ground, and more importantly, we ensure that the opportunity is being used through the public service themselves. In that way, there are bigger platforms that are being created where we meet the public service themselves, but we also engage with the citizens to really gauge the perception level of how they view government, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing, where are we leading, and out of that, as public servants, we come up with collective needs. I've already spoken about the theme, which was taking South Africa, by moving South Africa forward, taking the people. there was an official launch just to, you know, to say here we are a public servant on the 4th of the national launch day. Everybody get up to start voting. I'll just take them through, you know, a number of programs across the province. For example, in Kwazulu Natal, what they did, they looked at the sector approach where their main focus was around the startup. They used this year as a baseline where senior managers went out to the startup offices, they looked at where the issues are. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will only get problems. Even with their best practices, we kind of look at them so because we want to actually ensure that, you know, we share those best practices with other people that are, or other departments that are behind. And then what is going to happen with AZN, we're going to use this here as a baseline, and then come up with an improvement plan, and it will be monitored every year for the next 3 years. The research we have looked at, as indicated there, we also look at the kind of expectations and study where students were asked, you know, how do they feel about the kind of services that are being provided by staff, where they get them, and how do we move forward. In Mpumalanga, there was a site that we visited in rich local municipalities, and the service sites included a clinic, police station, hospital. It's quite important to note that we are having a standardized kind of tool that we utilize as we go out there. We are even senior managers, we think that they must go out of their campus, some of their rural offices, they must go to the service development side, look at where problems are and troubleshoot. They are just going there to just, you know, get the verses, they're going there to do the work. The emerging issues from Mpumalanga, it's around in the free staffing, the resources around the tools of trade, non-compliance of certain buildings with occupational safety, and like I said, this will be incorporated into the improvement going forward, and will be monitoring that over the next year. Christians, all of those members, they kind of look at monitoring their 2014-15 sustainable improvement program. Remember, every 3 years, departments and provinces are supposed to develop ADITs based on the critical sensitivity issues. Every other day, they have identified. So, in this instance, three sectors, we have developed that, it has been approved, and then we're going to go back to the service side and see how we are doing. Are we improving? Where are the gaps, and how do we do corrective measures? Issues and measures from there is not proper administration systems in place, accessible, accessibility remains a challenge, and then there are also issues around the HR process that needs to be followed up by the very senior managers every day. In Limpopo, eight times were visited, there was less hygiene requirements, and then there was an assessment that was done, including an inspection study to the sites that we visited, and then some of the issues which are mostly common in Mokela visited is around the infrastructure, you know, some of the buildings are dilapidated and the maintenance is still a challenge. Officials, the morale is somehow low. You can imagine if you are in that kind of building and so forth. And then we also need to check out their procurement processes and they need assistance around that. In Eastern Cape, there was deployment that took place to same site, and they said that they just want to revisit their previous sites. Why did they want to look at the root cause to do a root cause analysis of what the challenges continue to be? Because in some areas, you know, we will continue to be confronted with the same thing over and over again. So how do we make sure that we really nail the root cause of that and then come up with a program going forward? And they also went to the first time and targeted new sectors like health and education for existing education. The Western Cape, there was no formal deployment, but there was a program that was developed. They did the outreach, they did the door-to-door, they also enhanced the budget and buyer understanding especially on the part of the citizens that they are rising in regards to what's enhanced. In Gauteng, there was also no formal deployment, but again, it doesn't mean that there was no public announcement activity. There were some outreach that took place, where announced that also business in that regard, and they are going to follow up with the formal deployment of senior managers or criteria in designing the hygiene methodology. In Northwest, there was no formal deployment, but there were activities that took place. The premier there during the second moment went to take like the project room with the Sustainable Development Model, and there was engagement with the citizens as well as, you know, the public service showing that, you know, they respond to the challenges that were identified, then, you know, real-time service actually providing services there. And Northern Cape, there was an official launch that took place around that, and then they also looked at the employee wellness program where, you know, they feel that, you know, it needs to be strengthened. This will be followed up with a formal deployment of senior managers going forward. And suffice to say that also in the Western Cape, there was the awards which was a photo which took place on the line. National governments also did have their public statement, and example is the one of the Department of Justice, which went to actually with the senior managers to Northwest, Northern Cape, and Housing. They were, you know, looking at their case register management system that they put in place, and trying to check, you know, what are the challenges around there, and then how do they come up with improvement measures to ensure that the program that is put in place is fully supported and, you know, the results are utilized. Homeland is also one of the examples, so is transport at the department. I just want to indicate, Honourable Members, that GPS is the overall coordinator, so if you just use the week, we are safe for the workers. In the name, what are the main issues out of the past 6 months, both from the unannounced, the kind of deployments, the outreach and so forth? We think that, you know, we still realize in certain places where the dilapidated and infrastructure of buildings as well as unmaintained maintained buildings remain an issue. There's poor documents and sort of management. In some instances, it's the same, the challenge around there. But in some instances, you know, it's just capacity that needs to be strengthened. The inability to leverage technology to deliver services. In some instances, we still have some communication that still don't have computers, people are still, you know, relying on the meetings manually and so forth. And it kind of affects the turnaround, where in some instances, people can use their Gmail terminal account, and the whole issue of confidentiality is an issue. It has inadequate and level of appropriate tools of trade. That's also emanated during our engagement last year, where public servants, especially frontline, were saying that we don't want to work, we are motivated, we want to go and everywhere, but we don't have basic tools. So we're saying that this remains an issue. Disability and extreme, you know, issues of access, still an issue in some things, even size. Example type is that, you know, the, you know, things like the rents are still, you know, in some cases, not necessarily being there. Those that are there are not necessarily user-friendly to people with wheelchair. Some things, counters are very high, and, you know, it's really difficult, especially those people who are in the wheelchair, they find it difficult to use that. The low staff morale, public servants are really, some of them, especially those in the front line, very, very motivated. Mainly, around salaries, though we all want money, but it's more around the conditions for service, so that needs to be enhanced to meet them to do work. And we also want senior managers, energy management, to communicate with them, to empower them, to help them to do what they are supposed to be doing there. In some areas, there are some commendable work that's been taking place. There are public servants who are very dedicated, who want to go an extra mile, who are very passionate, who are very, you know, professional, and enjoy what they are doing. They just want you know, their conditions to change a bit. They want to do it. They are able to do it more with less. But, you know, they want to see that continuous change and improvement. Public Service Bank is very entrenched, honorable men, but public servants feel that, you know, they feel that it's a mechanism that really highlights their work, that shows the citizens out there that they are really dedicated, but it also gives them the opportunity to go out there and interact with their citizens. It also gives them the opportunity to test their progress and to do better. We see that going forward, it's not a GPSA event, it is coordinated by GPSA. So we want every department, every public servant to really be part of that. So we want to enhance collaboration, we want to ensure coordination, we want to ensure continuously enhance and strengthen that alignment. Remember, it's tourism month, journalism month. There are other companies that are there. It's not necessarily a contradiction or a duplication. It's only that we need to leverage on those campaigns that are taking place, those programs that are taking place, to show that really it is government in that work. So coordination being second. The reports that are coming out of that, we need to continuously go back, especially for example, if we're at a site or at a district, we need to go back to those sites where providing feedback. And monitor the turnaround or improvement plan that we need to come up with, ensure that, you know, that continuous improvement is being monitored, followed up, and more importantly, provide feedback to the citizens on what it is that we're doing and how we are. And so issues transferring the environment are very, very fundamental. And then there should be continued to do the kind of work that we are doing. For example, we took into account the issues that were raised during the 2014 engagement in the citizen franchise. We also ensured that other information, other that, for example, the issues that are emanating from the frontline, the reports from your DPME are being taken into account when we actually do our improvement programs. And it's also part and parcel of the service improvement plan and aligned to the operational plan of the department so that we begin to realize the impact that we play. And I think here in conclusion, we're just saying that as a way of continuity, we need to take into account the issues that we're raised and whatever the challenges, the interventions that are coming out of there. And it's more of a baseline, not that we are starting, but we will continue to ensure that we look back as we move on. And then the year two, we then follow up on the deployment, what were the issues that were raised, are we on track, where are the gaps, what are the programs that are responding to that, are those programs that are responsive, how do we continue to improve on that. And then year three, we also look at you know, what is the enabling impact on the kind of intervention that we're doing there as public servants, and not only as public servants and public servants. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Bill. In fact, we also need to note that this was the first time that this report is being presented to the portfolio committee. We never heard that before. In fact, in the last year presentation, and the report would have been more interesting because we know that the former minister, he took charge of the program. I wish we could have an opportunity to hear that and then check as to issues that were raised in the previous visit or the previous public service month when they attended to. So we have any further questions? Page 20, is it slide 20? The second bullet. The disability ministry remains a major challenge in some of the visited sites. I'm talking about, are we referring to members of public, or are we referring to members of public being unable to access our buildings? Are we looking to that? We're looking to that. I'm going to use that one.
I think we work with the wall because there's the best re-elevation and also the threatness of government to get a programs and policies to make sure that we maintain. And we identify those issues, we take them to the managers, and then we look at ways and means of dealing with that. For example, in that one, like I said, the count has been high, and then, you know, it also brings, then the rents also been very sharp and so forth. So we engage management around that, and if we do more follow-ups, we go back to the same class. But either way, I'm quite comfortable that we will. Those are the things that I think that the control of.
Because when you say inappropriate toilet, and I go to slide the engine, and I look at that type of toilet, I definitely don't, I'm not convinced that a certain intervention will be able to use that type of toilet. So, I'm worried, I doubt it will be that way. But then, another question from my side is the lesson length. What lessons do you learn? Where do you hope to find them or during this program? And then the other issue, you know, there's a unit within GTSA. Called Center for Innovation. And this whole thing, programs, what is this people working on? What is their innovation or their innovative programs? How do they incorporate them? Because it seems like you want to then work outside them, you never use the programs that they recommended to you. You never got involved in, especially when this is an out of the box, né? It's something that you do outside your program. But if you do something like this, there should be some way, you know, I think they can also avail. If you have never been sent, I want to recommend that going forward, it must be incorporated in this type of program. And look at the program that they have recommended for, if they won't be able to provide, you know, immediate solutions for some of the challenges that you may go experience. I'm worried about the IT system. Even the Auditor General that is proposed that as a problem, because you see it's coming up again. In fact, you have to decide on that one so that we don't see even other people. That is the one is the problem. So I'm worried about the IT system. If we're not going to correct it between now and next year, April, we'll not get it right. And then, the staff morale. You spoke about the low staff morale, right? It's for one anyway, staff. But I think it's one of your major concerns to say that as you engage with the staff, you said that there's a high level of low morale. Whether do they want more money or because of different conditions, we also need to come up with programs that will start to motivate our staff. It's not always about money.
Yes.
There are things that we can do outside that. So those are the two issues from my side. I will pause for now and allow members to I'll make recommendations. Okay. Member Lasmore, you're welcome. And you're number one. Are you not writing a draft?
No, I'm writing an
entry. Oh, okay, not sure. All right. You are number one, okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry for being late. Well, you did start before 10. But I didn't pick up the get out of the line message, so I'm sorry about that. Chair, may I just ask, I don't know, and I know this is a logistical issue, but I don't know about the other members, I only received this when I walked in this morning. Surely we can receive these things beforehand, so that we can at least prepare, go through them and prepare. I'm sure that you received it beforehand. I'm struggling to understand the need for this. There's a program on television called I Never Have a Boss. I don't know if people have watched it. And it appears much the same thing, where the CEO of a company goes undercover, so he disguises himself and goes into the front line, for instance, goes and works as an apprentice, a trainee on the front line, and he experiences what the people experience so that he can really see the problems. It appears that this is the kind of thing that you're trying, I know you're not going in disguise, but that you're trying to do. What it does come down to is why this is necessary at all. Why don't you know this? Why don't you know that people are not able twins, or that buildings are dilapidated, or that there are inadequate computers, or, I mean, I think most of us have been into a home affairs office or a police station or whatever, could have told you everything that you told us this morning. We see it. I'm just grappling with understanding why this month is necessary, and I'm assuming that it comes with costs. It must come with costs, because I might have missed this. I assume that the top officials from each department are going out. How does this group work that goes out? Okay, so you spoke about the report, ultimately, that comes as a result of all the visits. Where is that report? You spoke about you being able to monitor whether there are improvements as a result of that report, but that's also our job. It's our job to do oversight. So can we also monitor? Can we get a copy of the report that emanated from Public Service Month? And then, Chair, improvement plans were also spoken about. Do those come to the department that is involved, or does the public service function to deliver an improvement plan? Where is that improvement plan? Can we see it? So who rules it up? Where is it? And who follows up on the improvement plan? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I want to link on to what my colleague has said. And I think the first question that one would like to ask yourself is, you know, after Public Service Month, what is different? And will the public be able to see the difference? Now, what we find is that quite often some individual cases are highlighted here as success stories. But if one looks at the vastness of the public service, there surely there must be a much longer list of success stories of public servicemen. And quite frankly, it seems to me as if many of the successes that we now are in charge of are supposed to be part of senior managers' daily or monthly responsibilities. Do we really need a public servicemen to be able to become aware of the dilapidated state of some of the infrastructure? Do we really need a public service man to discover that there's poor documents and records management? Or is that actually what the public has been telling us all the time, all along, when they need to submit a second application for their workman's compensation, or a third or a fourth a copy, etc. Go back to the police station and again report the crime and so on. So Chief, my first question is, you know, how can we determine whether public service month has really been effective? What are your measurements? Because I believe in the saying, if you can't measure, you can't manage. Then just on the issue of low staff morale, and the presenter has referred to salaries. When last has a study been done to compare the public service salaries with that of the private sector? My impression was that such studies are being done from time to time, and that if that actually reflects that the salaries in the public service are not that unfavorable, except for certain positions. I think there are some specialist positions where we struggle to attract quality staff members. I know my colleague has just come from basic education, and part of the challenge is to get good maths and science teachers, because we pay all the teachers the same, and while the market out there does provide for the supply and demand issues to be better than in the public service. So, if it's not salaries, what then is the cause of the low staff morale? Because I think that's the one thing that we will agree on, that in general the morale of the public service staff can be should be. Now one of the main things that I believe is that staff morale is driven to a large extent by the level of leadership in your organization. If the leaders are enthusiastic, if they install in the staff, you know, the sense of importance and that they are valued and that the hard work is recognized and so on, then I think it can be much more for staff morale. So now that we know that low staff morale is a problem, now that we know that it's not only as been admitted, not only has to do that with studies, what has public service not done to improve that staff morale? Again, can it be measured? Is it measured? And if not, should we not perhaps in the next public service month embark on an exercise where we do measure the motivational levels of staff in the public service? And then just last in general, I think we all know that if you go to a public service block of offices, that said here, quite frankly, that quite often you will find that the buildings are dilapidated, maintenance has been neglected, that records are lying on the floors, sacked in heaps, and so on. And again, my question is, now that we know that, what are we doing about it? Are we keeping senior people responsible, accountable, to ensure that the owners of the buildings, be it private owners or Department of Public Service, Public Works, that they do come and do the necessary maintenance work. Now that we know, and as I once said to the minister, I think the best thing you can do is just walk, get out of your office and walk among the passengers and see how people turn over files, the old brown files with the full, you know, ties together with rope and all sorts of things. Now that you know that, what are we going to put a compliance system in the public service? Are we giving the necessary training to the people? Are we giving the necessary equipment to them? Filing often requires equipment. So, see, I can get responses from DPSA on those that I would really be grateful. Because I think we all want to see this month become a huge success, where the public will be able to notice a difference.
Thank you.
Maybe, Jack, just a couple of things, just to underscore what my two colleagues have said. It has to do with the buildings, and the other thing has to do with the reports. My question would be, the state of these dilapidated buildings, does it warrant that they should be condemned or rehabilitated? Because that's very important, and obviously it goes to budget. Where is the status of that? Because sometimes you have to write off these buildings like that and make them compliant. What are the implications of that? And I would assume that these buildings would be on the register of the national assets of the Department of Public Works, so they will probably have to work with them on this one. But on slide 22, one of the things that always presents me is that bullet point 1, 2, the second one, the one which says the 2014 frontline officers report's findings will be taken forward, taking into consideration inputs of. Now, I assume that 2014 frontline visit was in September, and we are already now in November, and we're saying these findings will be taken forward. I believe that it should have been taken forward, and at this time we should be hearing what was done about it. The language just bothers me then. It seems like nothing is yet being done about doing something about it, so we're only going to start doing it now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairman. And Council and Boards. Chairperson, I am of the opinion that there's nothing effective in motivating public servants actually produce good men out of well motivated self practices. But I'm a bit concerned about the fact that it is only celebrated on one occasion a year. One would like to see a situation where you have maybe two, because the celebration actually is a special event to highlight the progress that they encounter in their execution of their work. But also it is important to check whether what has been done, whether are there things that have been done to address those problems. So that would assist if we have one other day within a year to assess your feedback. And the purpose of this delivery process, the target is meant to is meant for the public. So I just want to check the rate at which the communities are engaged on this and how widespread is it, or that would determine the effectiveness of the whole exercise. Mention is made of the sites that have been visited, for instance, in the Morocco, and it is mentioned that it's only 6 or 8. So I just want to check that it is 8 out of how many. That will also give me an idea as to whether what we are doing becomes effective in terms of its widespreadness or what. In the Free State, it is mentioned that the report says proper administration systems are not in place. What has been done about that? What attention has done to correct that? Over the period that's covered by the report. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let's welcome the report. It gives us something to react on. For me, Chair, there's just a couple of things that I would like to raise that not necessary for them to respond today. They can just forward the things that we should know. In terms of, I'm sure, Chair, that we pick up also promised just to keep the point that you raised later on in terms of the actual examples of the areas that we visited, if we are in the department last year in 2014. Which area, for an example, that if you take the hospital in KwaZulu-Natal, and this year that improved in terms of public safety, in terms of the upkeep of the data and all those things, because most of other things that don't necessarily need typical budgeting, including the operational money, which also then speaks to the poor management of any given facility that we have there. That is there any specific good positive value for money from our last year's program because of the budgeting minister?
Secondly, Chair, for me to say the matter when he goes and an outreach program for the youth and wet. It's trying to get appetite to the department that you must follow through those things. I would like to know that this year did we have, did the department have cinemas and diaspora in different provinces? What are the issues which were more different from the last year's one? I'm sure the people will be in a better place to talk to those things. Second issue is because it has been said, the issue of the IT. I'm sure through your good self chair, the DG will take that one as an area of priority because it's quite a risk if the IT, let alone that the tools of trade are not even there, which is another issue.
Chair, the other one in terms of the last slide here, in terms of the program background and all that. can remanage itself, and it is also to itself and risk its good ethic, moral, and pride, and all these other things in the public service relationship. That is in any progress, any improvement. If there is no improvement, why? And what is our relationship with the school of government and also the public service center for innovation, which we are sharing in our. In terms of the slide, also continue with the program background. Somewhere it talks to the education to particular purposes of the improvement. Then we are tempted to look the issue. I'm hearing that the man and the deputy DDG responsible for the public safety or what city as a problem to the one who presented. I'll try just in a very few minutes, even in writing, to tell us on our findings during the oversight where there is the retrieval center that also does not give us. And also how you intend to realign the staff in the department or your unit in terms of what you feel throughout the country. Not alone in terms of the staff, but also in terms of, because the other issues that can foresee the mutation in terms of influencing other data. Department, because even yourself, you see yourself as the leader of the Kutuso Center in terms of what is it, Maponya Mall, and SA, so which means it's more of a mindset thing for me to a city. The last one is also the issue of your community development makeup. Any improvement on that? How are they managed now? Because we raised in the last year also when the president report to say we have those volunteers, if I may say volunteers. To be better managed than what is happening. Is there any improvement? What have we done about that?
Thank you. Because both Veronica is presenting on behalf of the minister, this is the minister's program. So this is the minister's support. I think it would be unfair if we were to ask the department to respond and especially the aspect of the minister. I want to give you an opportunity to go through the question, take the minister through, and provide us with written responses. Maybe not next week. I'll give you more time because I've just received a notice now informing us of the passing on of the minister's mother. I'm told that she passed away yesterday on Tuesday the 3rd of November 2015, and those funeral arrangements are not yet finalized. So that might take the minister off his job for almost 2 to 3 weeks. He might be away. And I'm also informed that the minister out of the country, what is he doing? So members, what are the reasons that I'm just on this now? Our hearts are condolences to the minister's family. So let's do that, colleagues. The issue of department working together, nothing works and all that, I think we've read those questions quite sharply, but it will be unfair for them to respond. Let us take all these questions to the minister. The issue of IT systems as well, with a commitment from him, he must tell us when is he going to do that. I did not see anything talking to that in terms of the budget review. Have you mentioned the improvement of IT systems during the budget review? Yes, I think it's one of the issues that you spoke about, because it was also highlighted by the Auditor General's office. The staff morale, well, other issue that we have raised here, they are long term, but other things they achieve now, other things they cannot do without them, they must achieve them now. Honorable Lakmo?
Thank you, Chair. Again, I'm talking from a point of position of not fully understanding. Is this a ministerial program? So the minister says, you must go and visit these particular places and you must look at these particular things. And then the minister takes control of the report and the follow-up, etc. If he's not, then it's a departmental program. And the minister might have come up with the idea in the first place and said, I want this done, but it's a departmental program. My problem with not getting answers is a serious one, and that's that we can't have follow-up. So we might not have raised the question initially. An answer is given, and we wish them to follow up on the answer that is given, and we can't do that. So we are deprived of that opportunity in committee. The committee just becomes an environment where you receive a presentation and then you go away. If you could just explain that to me a bit more, please.
What would you say on that specific point? Since for months, and since like education in January, public services, September, the cabinet or what is happening next? And then I will take ownership of it. Is this report, the departmental report, and this program, is it a departmental program or a ministerial program? I think that's what the member wants to understand based on my recommendations.
If I may, the identification, the designation of September as public service month was a ministerial decision many years ago in consultation with colleagues in cabinet. So what happens on an annual basis, it takes the process to engage in discussions to what should be the focus this year. But that at the end of the day has to be approved by the minister. It's bigger than the department because it's public service wide, and that's why you then have other executive authorities elsewhere in the public service also involved in the rollout of the program. So it's not just the departmental program.
It's the
municipal
program.
Yes.
It's the municipal program. It's not a departmental program. What will be there is support to help run the program, but it's the municipal program. And can I also mention, because when we started you were not here, it's for the first time that this kind of report is tabled before the committee. We felt that it will enrich our oversight. That's why I personally felt that it has to be part of the agenda. At some point, the committee has reflected on it. And I think it has done that. We're able to pick up on issues that they will be able to make follow-up on. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I really appreciate the fact that it has been presented. It is important that it be presented. But, you know, there are issues like, for instance, their report. Where is that report? The minister is not dealing with that sort of thing. I don't think he is. Is his office dealing with that sort of thing? Is his office dealing with the report? Or is the Department of Public Service and Administration dealing with it? But there's a report. There has to be improvement plans, etc. Somebody has to be compiling all of that. But okay, if it's the minister, I doubt it. I doubt if the minister was there today, would not be able to answer those questions, because he could not personally deal with it. But I, just in general, it's very difficult to ask questions, not get answered, and therefore not be able to ask follow-up. But, I think a bit of a cop-out, quite frankly. But, it's your call.
Are there questions that you are able to respond to? Mm-hmm. Do that.
Thank you, Chair. I think perhaps let me start by explaining that I think in distinguishing between the department and the minister, I think we should remember what the Public Service Act says. The Public Service Act specifies the mandate of the Minister for Public Service and Administration, and the role of the department is to support the minister in fulfilling that mandate. So, for example, we talk about the regular improvement plans. It is in the public service regulation that department must develop the regular improvement plan. In all the work that we are doing, the team here develops guidelines, they engage with departments, guide them in terms of the content of those regular improvement plans. But it's in support of the minister's mandate. So that's exactly what happens. So during September, when we have public service month, when we go out in the field, we find out the whole departments have made the service development improvement plan to us, monitoring those service development improvement plans. They support, we have a team, and regularly call Calibre report to Parliament, sorry, to Cabinet, on those departments that have submitted, which ones are still outstanding, and so on. And which departments are submitting progress reports against the service delivery improvement plan. So because we work with departments in this area, Public Service Month provides us with an opportunity to see some of the things that we must insist departments must include in their service delivery improvement plan. Because we will have experienced the things and ourselves, and we'll be checking the reports as well. If it's a departmental program, one must not necessarily be a program that it be implemented and coordinated by the department in support of the minister's mandate, because he is the one who then goes to cabinet and says, here's the progress that we are making in this particular area. So I think, so for example, if we say, raise the service delivery improvement plan of the department, what happens in this issue is that, because each department must have its own service delivery improvement plan, we then are able to influence what goes into those plans through the issues that have been identified from this process. What are some of the lessons that have been linked to the chair raised this issue? One of the issues, and which is why we believe public service fund is important, is that some of the issues get clarified through interaction. We went to CTA in the Western Cape last year with the then Minister for Public Service and Administration. The Premier was there, the Mayor was there. On arrival, we were approached by the school principal, who said, I heard that the Minister was going to come here. I had problems in my area. I run a school where about 80% of us are women, the staff members. But there is a lot of hate violence in the area in which the school is located. We can't do anything about it. We are supported by the police. We believe our staff is not doing its part. So we said, we'll change the program. We will go to the local police station and visit there and find out what the problem is. So we went to the police station. The police station said, no, our problem is that we don't have enough vehicles to send out when the school calls us. We went behind the counter on the day, said, give us your access register. Let's see how many vehicles you have. They have the vehicles. Have passed out there, but there are little small things that need to be fixed. Now, that's something that you deal with it on site through interaction and through that, because they don't necessarily need a lot of money to address that problem. But had we not used public service money to troubleshoot the way we're troubleshooting, you will have a school that continues to be in that local position that doesn't support them. In the meantime, it's a very small misunderstanding. There are many such examples. Some of them we deal with them through the media. During this month, we've conducted interviews with people on TV. Some of the issues that people raise with us, you realize that it's just a mere misunderstanding. And by clarifying these issues, you are able to address this. So it's one of the lessons that we have learned from this process, that it's not always about long-term resources, big plans, and so on. Some of the issues is through clarification. Let's take the matter of morale and salary.
Now, when I was saying, you don't have to wait for the tender. You must find time, move out of your offices, do that quite often. That's what they are saying. They hear that you're saying during September, but September is not enough. Do that more often. Move out of your offices, go to frontline services, visit key service delivery points, and then be able to resolve issues in the team. That's what we are recommending.
And we agree. I think what we have done is we have focused on the work that gets done during September and what gets done through the rest of the year. But these kinds of visits are not limited to September. It's just that September is the highlight where we put particular spotlight throughout the country with us coordinating. But it doesn't end there. During the rest of the year, there is this program called the Kaidu, which is the Benjamin word for challenge. The deployment of senior managers through Kaizu is not limited to September. The program is run throughout the public service, throughout the rest of the year, but it's not limited to September. It's just that in terms of reporting now, we have concentrated our reporting on activities that happen during public service month. We've taken the point, Honorable Chair, about integration with with the Center for Public Service Innovation, they are our sister entity, and it's work that will continue to strengthen to make sure that the innovation that comes from that side are mainstreamed throughout the public service. On the IT system, we'll take this back. I know that in government there is what is called the Government Information Technology Officer Council, which has been established. It's coordinated by the GSA. It has a chief information officer, or IT officers of all departments, and they're right in that council. And this is where they sit, talk about how they can support each other and strengthen the implementation and use of IT systems in the public service. So we will take this back and make sure that as raised in the Solicitor General's report, we are able to close the gap that has been identified. I think on the matter of the building, again, one of the things that we observed, I don't know face, is it about blaming them or is it about improving the building? In a number of instances, it's not about blaming. Some of our engagement with public servants, we're giving them an example, but they are saying, and it affects the morale as well, that you need to refresh your aid in some of the buildings. And it's not necessarily an issue of saying, let's go to public and ask for a lot of money to do the kind of work. It can be done. And some of the things we said to public servants are well within your control to do this. You know, in the years gone by, there used to be what were called CGMA. Where would even bring community support and say, if the school looks like this, let's work together with communities and make sure that we refresh the things. So it's not about a lot of resources, it's not about condemning even a number of instances. It's just make sure that we do the little things that will make the building, the aesthetics of the building, to improve. And that will contribute to the morale of the participants as well. We have taken the point that one of the Suma has raised about prison centers or sites and the overhead that was contacted by the community and the issues raised about community development workers. We'll provide a detailed report on those matters. But I must just add that I think in terms of the number of sites that we report on in this, the Honourable Donor raised a question, if you say 8 sites, I type out how many? So you're talking about 33 sites. So if you go into a province with 33 sites, we'll be quite about there. Look at the things, the hospitals, the police station, the home affairs offices that are there, all the sites of government services that were government interfaces with members of the public. So for purposes of this process, what we did was let's be on a sample basis, but understanding that the rest of government as a matter of course goes into these areas and monitors them. I think the final issue on which I could just indicate understanding that obviously the rest of the members will be able to include in our report is that in our report we have raised those issues that we believe should be built into the development improvement plan of our programs going forward. But it's not really the totality of how government is performing. There are many other things. The Center for Public Service Innovation just last week had a program where they were recognizing innovation in the public service. For this purpose of this week, we didn't deal with it. In the next week or so, we'll be having a program where we recognize what we believe are best departments of the year, best functioning departments of the year, best national head of department of the year, provincial head of department of the year, best implemented program of the year. There are many of those other things that are happening and are happening well. And this committee might be aware in interaction with the general as well. But generally, two-thirds of entities or entities get amplified. Over 75% if you look at the general report of the general. But we're not focusing on those things. We're focusing on what are the areas where we believe there are concerns and we need to take them and build them into service delivery improvement programs of department. So we will elaborate on this in the report that we give to the committee, but I thought I should just highlight that fact in concluding the input. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Is the plan actually? Oh, okay. All right. Number one.
Thank you, Chair. I've just been, and I apologize to the DG for not making eye contact while he was talking. I was listening, but not, but Googling, looking for services of improvement plans. I don't find one on your site. I don't find one on other sites either. So services of improvement plans appears, are not being made public. It appears. So I've looked at some cases, for instance, and that. I also looked at PNG. As previously in 2007, I came across a presentation where DPSA had given a sort of an overview of the service delivery improvement plan and what had been done as a result of them. Perhaps it appears they're not being made public. Where are they? Why can we see them? And where do we get them? Thank you.
This input was actually very useful. That's what we're trying to do here. And it highlights one important thing, and on this club that I'm sure you know, that line managers are the people that are supposed to do the job. It shouldn't take the DG and his team to go to a police station and find that the van or the car needs repair. It shouldn't. So the guys who are on the front, the managers, need to be held to account. They've got to be able to do that. And one of the things that need to be emphasized is that land managers have to take responsibility and there should be consequence measurement. And then maybe public system will become made public.
But just to reassure the honourable member that the services that are improved and are not a secret document, so they can be availed. Well, each department has one, but I think but I'm getting from her input is that let the departments make those documents public as part of what is on the website. Yes.
I thought you will reiterate to the statement that was made by Oster on it to say every day the receivers are the same for public service. That was a very powerful statement. I thought when you respond, you will have to pay me for that. Okay.
Yeah, I can only people don't realize this. I started my career, working career as a public servant in the city of Pretoria and Latitude. So I'm not just talking, yeah. We were some of the best guys in that office. If you go to Africa now and they ask them about that period, they would have that. And it can be done. It must be done.
And now? Now. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thanks, man. All right. Can we now make space for monitoring and evaluation? Thank you.
Monitoring and evaluation will not be able to present
the report and you will not be able to attend the meeting and have requested Ms. Lola Zikala to lead the delegation. And Ms. Lola Zikala is accompanied by Ms. Benedict Leon and Dr. China. China Mashiya. Okay, I apologize for that. Okay, we accept the apology of the acting director general. Ms. Nabadi? You're not a stranger to the committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to present on our work. I just wanted to say that Ziggy, who's sitting on my left, is the new deputy director general. She joined the department on Monday, and she's responsible for the institutional performance monitoring and evaluation branch, which is where frontline service delivery monitoring work, presidential hotline, MPES and a whole range of other programs that the honorable members are aware of. So she's brand new in the department and we welcome her. Chairperson, with your permission.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for that. She's definitely, yes, I think she can speak later with the chief permission. She's definitely not ready to the public service. She joins us coming from the Eastern Cape province, but she has worked in the national departments before. So thank you, Chairperson. With your permission, please, I'll ask the update to make the presentation, and then as guided by you, we will take questions and jointly and share. Thank you, Benny.
This is a report on the frontline service delivery monitoring and evaluation that CME does, and it is giving an overview of almost 5 years, 4 years of doing this monitoring, and then also specific to the findings from last year, because every year we produce an annual findings report, and we have just issued the fourth annual findings.
So I apologize for that because we don't want to shift the blame, but we really did submit this presentation a long time ago. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Copies of all the presentations.
Give your email address. I think all of us are using the new control, right? Let's say that you get your electronic.
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. Look, I also prefer to get my document electronic. We'll do that. Just on the attendance for this directory, it's the address of your voice. So that then you become part of our.
What is our intention with doing this franchise of the delivery monitoring? For PPME, we aim to change the M&E practices of field level managers, being the department responsible for planning M&E. And we also try to strengthen the decision makers, the M&E practices of decision makers in head office. It's not our intention to cover all facilities. Departments do that. They are meant to have intensive monitoring programs themselves. But the intention is to demonstrate to departments again the value of this on-site monitoring by doing it ourselves and then by showing them how the information can be used, analyzed, and how it can influence decision making. So again, our objective is to catalyze service delivery improvements. We work with departments to use findings as an input into service delivery improvement and planning. Just a little bit of background maybe, so there is approximately 40,000 frontline facilities in the country. It varies depending on it's 40,000. 25,800 are schools, 4,100 health facilities. But also, even that number of health facilities can be 8,000 if we include the smallest mobile and so on. So this is just to give us a sense of the scale of facilities that we are engaging with. So when we do a CDME, since 2011 we've done field monitoring of 764 facilities. We only focus on 8 types of facilities, so 764 out of a potential 40,000, but each facility we visit twice, once to do the monitoring, which we call a baseline visit, and once to provide feedback to the management of the facility. Who are the monitoring teams? The monitoring team consists of DPME and the offices of the Premier staff, and in some cases like Gauteng, the Office of the Premier used community development worker supervisors to do the monitoring. We very deliberately don't do the monitoring with the responsible sector department. We do it with offices of the Premier, because the idea is that we as offices of the Premier are going to go and do monitoring of their monitoring. We're checking whether monitoring is being done by sector departments, and we're checking by the sector it is, and that's why we don't have to go with the sector department. And also just to highlight that DPSA is actually the policy champion for service delivery standards, setting, and for supporting service delivery improvements in these facilities. I have mentioned what we do and what offices of the Premier do, and I've also mentioned the different steps that we are following. So I won't go into that in detail. We use, this is the second time we present on this program, so, but I'm also just giving a little bit of background again. We use a set of paper-based tools that we've developed. We interview citizens, we interview staff, and then we as the monitor also give our views. So we end up with a scorecard for every facility that has 3 views. So one is from the citizens we interviewed, and it's a very small sample. And one score is from citizens and one is from as monitors. And we produce a summary scorecard for every single facility. So just to say again, for the 764, there would be a scorecard for every facility. At the feedback meeting, we communicate the findings and we produce an improvement plan. So that summary report has the actual scores and it has a improvement plan attached to it. And then we do selective improvement monitoring. We don't have the capacity to go back for a third or fourth time to the same facility to check improvements. But every year we would look at the top of facilities that we've monitored. We extract the weakest ones, and we would then schedule to go back to them in the following year to go and check improvements
And we do this because we are also trying to demonstrate to departments that monitoring is not a once-off event, that they should be going back regularly to facilities to make sure that improvement plans are actually active. This is just to highlight again the specific eight types of facilities that we are monitoring. Of course, there are many other types that we could be monitoring, but we chose these eight because we think these are the places where citizens on a daily basis experience government. And we thought if we could get these eight facilities, types of facilities to work, it would have a positive impact on citizens who use them daily. We don't monitor service delivery in general. We monitor only the quality of service delivery as experienced by people. And we have developed these eight key performance areas that we think if we assess these, we could get a good sense of what the quality of service delivery is. We use a similar scoring system as NPAT does. Poor being one and very good being being four. And when we started this, we operated on the assumption that life with impact, what a three is, meaning compliance, would be known. The standards would be set. What is compliance in terms of cleanliness? What is compliance in terms of complaints management? But of course, as we have said before, when we started doing this monitoring, we realized that often this very fine-grained standard setting has not been done at facilities. And in the process of doing the monitoring, we highlighted that, and I'll show later that we are trying to assist to make sure that that is put in place. Because without actually setting standards for what cleanliness is, the citizens will of course set their own standards. And we will never be able to. We will be monitoring something we haven't set standards. So we call the first thing I'll talk about is baseline monitoring. It's what I mean is when we go to a facility for the first time and we set we produce a scorecard and we get a sense of where the facility is at. So this just gives a sense of all the type of facilities that we've monitored up to now. And I'll mention again that although the sample size of 678 is up to March 2015. Between March and now, we've done another 80-something, so that brings it up to 700-something. But the recent ones we've done, the scorecards are not publicly available. We will process them again in another annual report. But 678 is what we did up to March 2015. And although the sample is quite small, a small representative sample of 40,000, we have never found that the small samples, that findings are actually disputed by departments. So it shows you with a very small sample what accurate results you can get. Departments often would say that sounds about right when we present the findings. And we, of course, encourage departments to increase their on-site monitoring presence so as to deepen their understanding of frontline facility conditions. This current year, or last year, we did 123 facilities. That's about the maximum we are able to do in a year. This year, we're doing 19 facilities. These are very time and resource intensive things to do, and we do this in all nine provinces. We also do improvements, so we do 90 new facilities every year, and then we go back to re-monitor about 120, 123 facilities every year. And then this being the fifth year of implementing the program, we are going to more and more focus on improvement monitoring, actually facilitating and advocating that the findings are acted on. So we will be doing less and less new facility monitoring and focusing more on depth, making sure that those facilities that have been monitored, that the findings are actually acted on. Of the 123 facilities we monitored last year, health, home affairs and courts have achieved scores that are closest to the desired three, meaning on average compliance. this is really a high level averaging out when each of those eight performance areas, if we average that out on average home affairs, health and courts achieve the score closest to three, although none of the eight facilities have yet achieved the average of three. Complaints management remains the weakest year on year. And these are just examples of how we try to illustrate what we find. So a scorecard for a facility consists of the actual score, an improvement plan, and photographs to illustrate what we have found. And we try to illustrate what good looks like. So when we say, you know, the counters are well adapted to people in wheelchair, instead of just saying, you know, you're not doing a good job and you need to improve, there is one example, Kimberley Magistrate Court, where we were trying to document what good looks like, where the counters are actually adapted. And you can make this available to others who need to improve. Improvement monitoring results of the 123 facilities we re-monitored last year. We found that 65% of them actually showed improvement and 33% showed some slight regression. And then a bit more about improvement monitoring, we found that license centers that we revisited improved. Schools that we revisited showed some improvements as well. Although the average improvement rate is good, this is from a low base. None of the places are yet at the desired rating of 3, but we definitely see year-on-year improvement. And then again, with improvement monitoring, complaint management remains one of the lowest scoring. Then we also try and document where we have actually seen improvement before and after. And these are some examples of before and after improvement. For every facility that we re-monitor, this is an example of Delft South Primary School. When we first monitored it, the results were poor, so we've been going back to re-monitor. And so year on year, we would track whether we see improvements or not, and there's a little scorecard that we produce that tracks year on year what the improvement journey of that facility is. Again, we do this for selected facilities. It's not our intention to be doing this for thousands of facilities. We do it to demonstrate to departments how valuable it would be for them if they do this for all their facilities. Then we will end with a few lessons that we have learned. The third one is that frontline performance is increasingly becoming a strategic issue. We would say that in 2011, when we started with monitoring, DGs would often say when we presented that, why should I be interested in what is happening at the facility level? It's not a strategic issue, it's operational. But more and more, we can say that conversation has changed. Most DGs of these 8 facilities do understand the strategic importance of making sure operationally facilities are functional, because this is where people are experiencing them. And we can see in strategic plans and in APPs that frontline performance and special initiatives around frontline improvement you would not see in the strategic plan. The second lesson is that we still find that there's inadequate investment in managing improvement in initiatives at facility level. An experienced lead management practitioner said to us in doing this work that government has projects to improve staff attitudes, but they should rather invest in fixing processes. Good processes will result in good staff attitudes and happy clients. So we were talking earlier on about low morale, and it's also our view that one of the important ways of improving morale is to invest in good processes, clear processes, standard operating procedures, and that will make people feel safe and comfortable because they know what they're having to do, and they know what is good and what successful looks like and what been successful as well. Continuous operations improvement culture is a requirement for sustaining operations excellence in our department. The change initiatives that are needed at facility level are quite complex, and we think that we underestimate how complex they are sometimes. And they do sometimes fail because head office facility staff do not have the skills to introduce and implement change initiatives. And also they're not allowed the time to do so. So we are likely to bring about short-term improvements and not actually sustained changes. So the toilets are dirty today, and because we intervene, the toilets will be cleaned today. But the systemic reasons of why the toilets are dirty would be likely not to be changed or understood. So that is the danger of us sending head office people who don't understand change management and how to use change processes, and also the danger of us using only focusing on short-term and not investing in the actual change processes and helping people to introduce these change processes. And then initiatives such as CAGER, which we talked about earlier as well, is aimed at deploying problem-solving capacity to the front line. But this is anecdotal, it's not rigorous evidence. Anecdotal evidence shows that most of the officials that we deploy to the branch sometimes don't have the operations management and the problem-solving skills to facilitate and to implement change. And then maybe to add to that is that we do know that there is an initiative that has started to evaluate the whole service delivery improvement planning program that is more than 10, 15 years old in government. And I think the DBSA has agreed that that will be one of the programs that will be evaluated as part of the national evaluation plan. And there have been very early startup stages, but it is positive that there will be an evaluation of this program at some stage. The third lesson is that we do need more in-depth assessment of complaint handling. Every year we highlight that complaint management in facilities tend to be a challenge. And through our other programs, the Presidential Hotline, we've also highlighted the juniorization of complaint handling, that we often find very junior people who are tasked with managing complaints, and actually it's an incredibly strategic and important issue that should be handled by managed by the senior people, because that's the first point where a department could fix its weaknesses before they actually escalate. Given the continuous weakness, the DPME has started a process of developing a complaint handling assessment framework. We have looked at international practice, which identifies 8 standards that all organizations should adhere to. And under each of those 8 standards, which mentioned there, we have tried to describe what good practice would look like, what a measurable standard for leadership and accountability in terms of complaint handling, because we think that's possibly what is missing, is to set clear standards of what good complaint handling would be. And we have developed that, and we are in the process of packaging it, and we have been talking to DPSA in that we might publish it jointly with them, because they are actually the policy champions for complaints handling, and this might be something that we collaborate with them and we could publish with them to make available. This is maybe just to describe again the whole, you know, chain of complaint handling and what we have found are the 3 areas that tend to be the weakest. The first one is the acknowledging part, and the other one is actually resolving the complaint, and the last one is making sure that those complaints become important intelligence that we then use to change the way we do our business, and that often does not happen. We know that justice does this quite successfully.
their maintenance reorganization and the whole restructuring of their maintenance core system was based on the intelligence they got from their complaint systems that chose for years that this is what people complain about the most. When they chose where they needed to do a big intervention, they chose the maintenance core system based on partly on the many complaints that they've received over the years. And I think that that's a good example of how valuable complaints data can be. The last lesson is the need for measurable service standards at the facility level. We mentioned that this before, that we thought we would find it in most facilities, but we actually did not. Health is possibly the department that is the most advanced in terms of standard setting. And they have a body, a specialist body for the standard compliance monitoring officers. So we've also started a process out of this to actually develop measurable standards for each of the 8 key performance areas. What is the one, what's poor for cleanliness, what is compliance in terms of cleanliness. And this is just an example of one of those that we have developed. And we've worked with a few departments around it. Some departments who have not actually done this yet have been quite interested. And even though we will be using this new advanced tool ourselves, the departments will then also take this on and use it themselves to develop to their own standards, which is what we were hoping they would do. So this is a new tool that we have developed. We will be using it from next year, and departments will be using it themselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. How long have you, what is this program?
Been started?
For how long?
We started in June 2011 in 2 provinces, and then from 2012 in all the 9 provinces.
And then you said you monitor quality of services.
Yeah.
And then I want to come to my question that I raised earlier on with public service. The issue of disability with they flagged it as a major challenge in public service capacity. Is there any way you're involved in that? Is my question relevant for you? What is your role in that? What have you done? Because you said public service making it as a challenge, I don't see them having a solution. You are providing, you monitor quality of services, but we still have, in our own government facility, I don't want to talk about hygiene and all that. I just want to talk about access for disabled. How are we going to resolve that? Next year, are we still going to find it? I know that there is another part of it for this in particular. I'm not talking about other things, you know, because issues of hygiene, I don't sit here today, where do they want to be? And all that, I'm not talking about that, I'm just talking about accessibility for a disabled person. Well, I don't want to bring back the disability disabilities and all that, how limited are that. You were part of the presentation this morning, and you said most of the things that were right. Yeah, let me just pause there.
Improvement areas from last year's presentation, the specific. If we say we have got a certain area in a profit, specific area one would appreciate that if we can get that. It will help us. And also, what are the areas that last year we raised and there have been improvement? I want to show that the MGA does put together information or they do have power also to elevate issues where there's a lesser appetite of responding positive to those changes than to have picked up. How can we assess this for the community in that regard? Also, the other one, Chair, in terms of your the head of the report, is it the report on whatever public safety smart program taking service to the people? That way for me, the one that all the people say the same thing. No, it's fine. But let me continue then. The complaint management system, I'm sure there are governments and local municipalities or local governments that they do have that. My challenge is that are we also sensitizing to them to say they must move towards the e-government in terms of better monitoring and also quick referral and all those other things which is more detailed administratively. But it's because you spoke about the complaint management and raising that these are the our IT capabilities and skills, human skills that we have in the public sector. The matter of the quality of the savers, the tools that you use, are they also incorporated in your complaint management system? Because a committee member, when you complain, sometimes doesn't necessarily need the complaint to be attended now. It's to get a continuous feedback, where is it going, where are the blockages, and all the issue of communicating. So I'm sure that's when it boils down to the issue of complaint management. If you can get that one, also for me to understand how far can we stretch it, what are the limitations, how can we ask those, and also areas of duplication, because I can foresee areas of duplication in the future.
Thank you, Chef. I appreciate the report as well. Jefferson mentions made of the use of CCWs, and especially for housing. Is this discretionary, or what is the time to influence other provinces as well to use the CCWs more effectively? Have you tried it for much, and the outcome? Compared to your good selves, having checked 178 facilities, how do we ensure that the department, as it is their responsibility to the rest of the department of the facility, do the monitoring so that we have a broad line as possible? You make mention of the deployment that you do, and you realize that some of the people that are deployed at the community level, let's say, are not skilled. But are there any training facilities that are provided for them, even before they could be given this responsibility? What could have been, following from what Commander just said, what has been the why is complaint management at the level of GTs? Would you regard it as being successful at this stage? If not, why not? And how do you improve the basis of the law? Emphasize on what one of mine has just indicated on this issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. My great Chair, you know, about monitoring the regulation is that it's fine, you know, for the department to go in and monitor the regulation. The departments who are supposed to be doing these things, then they're told, you know, we found this, and that, and then we need to improve, but the department cannot enforce it. They can advise, they can facilitate it. So for me, the issue is really taking this whole thing down to the ground level, when it comes at the line, management function and where these things can be done and where people will pay bonuses based on whether they did achieve or did not achieve, rather than having some overarching department like the TKU doing the monitoring and research that should be done there. So the most important thing for us would be when the MPEG results come out,
2014, then we can see whether there was any, you know, value in all the work that the community has done.
Thank you, Jim. I have raised this issue earlier this year as well, and that is the fact that I believe that when various oversight bodies conduct business to entities and write reports on those entities, that there must be some agreement as to what are we looking for. When I go to a school to determine the quality of service in that school, from the education department side, I will have certain quality checklists or templates, and I will be looking for certain aspects of the school. From the reports that we have here in front of us, it seems to me as if certain things are extremely important to you when you go to a school. Signage, fencing, cleanliness, etc. Now while these things are all extremely important, quite frankly, the core business of the school is not signage. I do know that when you go to a school or university or a place like that, quite often we as visitors get completely lost. But the school children, they know where the Afrikaans class is, they know where the staff room is, they know where the boys' toilets are, know those things. So, and my question is therefore, are we not, you know, lessening the impact that we have? When different people come to a facility and different people look for different aspects. And, you know, the Department of, I was previously on the Portfolio Committee of Labour, they have their, you know, regulations that they would be looking for when they go to a place of work, etc., as all these places are places of work. And in the end, I'm afraid that we might be confusing management of these entities. And eventually, you know, we may be drawing attention to aspects, important aspects. But you know, in life and in spending budgets, some of it's about priorities. And we may be taking money away from the primary priorities of such places and end up looking at perhaps superficial things, things that are easy to monitor. It's easy to see if a body needs a new coat of paint. It's difficult to see whether the pills we dished up at the clinic are, you know, still within the due date, etc. So, to what extent are you liaising with the departments themselves, like for example the Education Department or, you know, Department of Justice, if you go to magistrates' courts and so on, and to what extent are you synergizing, to what extent are you seen from the same blue sheet, so to speak, in terms of your evaluation of those facilities, compared to obviously what I believe the internal quality management processes demand. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I must congratulate DGME. You know, I think the very simplicity of this tool that is used is what makes it so sophisticated. The fact that there are three contributors, being the citizens, the staff, and the monitors, is fantastic. And the matrix that you provide at the end is the proposed methodology for ratings is really simple. Anybody can use and understand it, which makes it very sophisticated and very very user-friendly. So I really congratulate you on that. In my experience with other portfolios here, I've been very impressed with the work that EVME has done. I found them to be rigorous, absolutely thorough, and honest, which is fantastic. I wanted to go back to the issue of accountability and go up and not... when I say down, I mean to the frontline itself as a manager. Only up to the minister. The minister, as I understand, is a department which sits, ministry of which sits in the presidency, and that's for a reason. So, do these reports get
table, for instance, at cabinet, do they go to the ministers? Do the ministers then hold their DGs accountable? What happens with the sort of ministerial accountability for service delivery? Just with respect to, I don't have the Bhakti principles in front of me now, but with respect to the standards of service delivery, I would imagine that they have to comply or think with the Bhakti principles. What are the Bhakti principles which are, I remember it because I don't personally like it very much, says that the customer is entitled to accurate information about the service which they are going to receive. Now, I mean, I can tell you that you're going to receive a service which means you get water only on 2 days a month, so it really doesn't help you tell me much. But I don't see that reflected in the standards that are actually measured, the information about the service. So the customer's measure of the service must be based, for instance, on what they come to expect, but not really on what should be available. I just want to know about, okay, this is not going into detail, just the synergy with the budget fee principle. And then a very simple question, what does DLTC stand for and what does MCCC stand for? These are the institutions that were visited and monitored. I don't know what they are. Thank you, Jay.
DLTCC, apologies for the abbreviation, not explaining them, is a driver's license testing center. The MCCs are, the DLTCCs we work with, National Department of Transport would be our interpreter. Although the centers are sometimes, they have agency agreements, sometimes they're run by a province, sometimes they're run by a municipality, but actually the only transport. MDC, the Municipal Customer Care Centers, that was a new introduction, I think, in 2013 after we were asked to pay some attention to municipalities. Whether these things were particularly, yes they do, the eight key performance areas are very much designed around that, and the issue about accurate information is very important. It's under dignified treatment. It's always tricky where to cluster something like that, but we decided that part of dignified service is information, and how whether you know what is going on is provides dignity. So we do ask people questions around whether they understand and when people explain things to them, facilities appear to them. Do these reports go to cabinet? Yes, they do. Since 2011, actually, even though we started in June 2011, by March 2012, the first annual findings report was in cabinet. We work through the GMA cluster system, so it ends up in the GMA cabinet committee. And so I think it was March 2012, the first report went, and then every year around March, an annual findings report goes to cabinet. And once we have done that, we also produce, there's a whole set of reports that the one goes to cabinet, an overall findings report, and then every single department, each of the eight departments get its own special report, so for example, National Department of Transport, and we present those to the senior management of each of the departments. Twice a year, actually. Now we've just completed the mid-year report. It's a preliminary report, and it's an internal process where we meet then with the head of SAPA, the head of transport, senior management, and we present findings to them. But once a year, a report goes to cabinet. Every sector department gets a report. Every province also gets a report. The idea is that those departments and the Office of the Premier should be using this information to drive improvements. To what extent do we liaise with the actual departments?
about to make sure we are monitoring the same thing. The idea behind this is that we are not monitoring key performance areas that we have invented. You have to monitor something that is in policy or in law. So departments do have standards that have that they need to have quality of service delivery standards, and DPFA works with departments around that. And what they are monitoring is their monitoring of these quality of service delivery standards. If you look at the entire health monitoring system, which is extremely detailed and very, very advanced, you would see that when we are monitoring, you would be able to find it inside that monitoring system. So there's virtually nothing that we are asking that would not be in the monitoring system or in the department. Sometimes just by having defined it, we're also pushing departments, like the municipal customer care centers, we are pushing COCTA to actually set standards. They started years ago and it stopped. And when you start to monitor, we said to them, we're going to be starting to monitor, although we know you don't have a monitoring system in place. And alongside us doing the monitoring, it work with you to actually start the process of setting measurable standards for municipal customer care centers, which they've done. But it's not that we're inventing it, they're meant to have it. Sometimes they have it and we're monitoring, they're monitoring. Sometimes they don't quite have it, and by monitoring it simulates them to actually make sure that they have standards. We try not to be monitoring something that set up new expectations and commitments, which by law is not meant to be. Why does complaint management remain a challenge? We are of the view that it's just years and years of complaint management not being, I think, being neglected. And one of the things that the portfolio committee could possibly assist with is to help us in the process of making complaints, bringing complaint management to the level of importance and strategic management that it should be, by sometimes asking departments to, account for their own complaints handling, what type of complaints do they get, do they report to the public, and now that we're going to be publishing this assessment framework, ask them to assess themselves against these standards and present to the committee on where they are at. I think it's just we have to bring it back to being an important issue. And we have to insist on more accountability to the public through public reporting on complaints management by all departments. And we're going to be reporting on the hotline at some stage. It will also insist in bringing the number of people who call the hotline as a first resort down if lower level complaints management become more important and more accountable. Community development workers, is it discretionary? Who the offices of Premier use to monitor it is discretionary. In some provinces they have quite large service delivery improvement teams that DPSA has been working with them on, and those people often would then do the monitoring. In Gauteng they decided that they wanted to bring more focus to the community development workers program, and they wanted to train them in to do this monitoring. They actually use the supervisors of the monitor. They don't use community development workers to do the monitoring. They use the supervisors, because when we go into these facilities, we have to be quite senior in a way. If we're going to be monitoring CEOs and heads of upper offices, it's quite important to show that we know their business and we are senior of ourselves. So it's how can they use the supervisors and not community. This doesn't mean training, actually doing monitoring, that community development workers and community work program participants can't be trained in doing this kind of really simple monitoring. We have been promoting this idea to other provinces, and we know that other provinces are also starting to use community development workers to assist with this kind of monitoring.
Then going back to the third question of disability, and then I'll ask Nwazi to assist me. What are we doing? I don't really have something concrete that I can say that we are fixing. All that I can say is that we are monitoring that quite actively. We do see that it has become something that disabilities see as important. We do know that this is something that takes money. A lot of things, you know, you can push facilities to say, look, you should be able to manage this better to get improvement. But when it comes to disability access, this is sometimes often, you need to construct ramps. The ramps need to be constructed to very specific specifications. Counters have to be lowered. You need specialized toilets, and those specialized toilets require money. So this is sometimes something that it does get neglected. It's not going to be at the top of the list, especially in facilities that have a long list of infrastructural issues that need attention. You will often find in a new generation offices, the whole state's blueprint offices that they are rolling out, the startup facilities that they are starting to roll out that is very much designed around the blueprint. In those new facilities, you will see that this is an occasion and investment. But in the older facilities that have a long list of infrastructural needs, it's still with these. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you, honorable members, for those questions and comments. I've got about five comments to reflect on. The first one is the point that honorable Minister raised around e-government and the importance of that going forward. It's something we have picked up that remains a major challenge for government at this point in time. And currently, as she says, it's got a lot to do with IT infrastructure and skills properly. I'm just reminded of a visit that we conducted with our own minister during this week, where we went to one of the licensing centers. And the key challenge, one of the key challenges we found there, over and above the attitude, was the extent to which, really, given the resources of the place we were visiting, they simply had not been shifted towards ensuring that they give an e-element in terms of assisting a person who comes through for service. And recently, over Sunday, I think, there was quite a lot of coverage regarding the work that the housing province is going to be doing to bring about e-government. And it's a matter of looking at with interest, because certainly it's a way that we can simplify citizens' experience in accessing service, and they don't spend too much time waiting in queues for, you know, accessing services in an uncoordinated fashion. That is something we would definitely support. The second issue is one of the role of the department, and I know that honourable members have raised these issues in previous meetings, but I just want to reiterate this point. For us, the voice of the citizen is very critical in terms of the work that needs to be done. Members will be aware that our minister is hard at work, lobbying both cabinet, treasury, and everyone to look at the way in which this particular department is resourced. And the particular focus is going to be on this work that the Nadet raised or was presenting on. Because in essence, we know what needs to be done. We are trying to do it. It's a fragment of what is it? It's just a proportion of the actual number of facilities that are out there. Our minister and ourselves would like to go out more, reach more facilities, but to be able to do that, we needed more people. And part of lobbying for getting additional resources will be ensuring that those resources get allocated to that. But another part of it, Honorable Madao, is about trying to adopt a two-pronged approach, where you build a particular department from the center that's located at the presidency, and you maximize on a strategic positioning to ensure that a strategic focus, and we set up with new ways of doing things differently, and report accordingly, and hold people accountable. But at the same time, we use the process to build capacity up from bottom up towards, and also from the center devolving.
But I agree with you, there are authorities or responsibilities that must be delegated to where the service gets provided. But the fact that we are not at that point right now, I don't feel quite clearly the need for the type of department that does the work that we do. When we must have marshals around a particular land, we must monitor the extent to which the whole of government delivers proper government program of action, and we evaluate the impact of government's work. But at the same time, we build capacity. We institutionalize a better way of planning and monitoring and evaluating across the whole of society for the benefits of the citizens. And then the third point is around something that Bernadette referred to, so I won't be long on this one, but it's a key point that got raised around there are different institutions that are out there and how do we all make sure that we talk from the same point. Bernadette gave a very good example on this one, which I'd just like to elaborate on for a second, which is for health. What she didn't mention is that really when she was setting up this process with her team, there was a lot of engagement with other departments in the field, just to ensure that we don't duplicate effort, but to ensure that there is, you know, focus on what needs to be done. I particularly like the fact that when we look at the key performance areas that we are looking into, really you can find a lot of synergy in terms of what the sector, a health sector called the ministerial priorities around enhancing quality, and it's issues around the attitude of staff, the access to the focus on medication, the whole range of other things where there's synergy between what they do and what we do. There's also synergy in terms of their Office for Health Standards compliance and what they focus on and how they define what is the minimum standard that a citizen can expect. As she correctly said, what we would want to do is to ensure that there's synergy, because I can't agree more with the honourable member out there, that we don't want to conflate things, we confuse management. We are about cohesion, we are about trying to ensure that there's improvement in terms of the quality of service that gets offered. Then there was a really great question that was asked about accountability. And I just mentioned the different number of structures where we report, and the meetings that get held around improvement plans and the extent to which we lobby people to improve on the work. Perhaps one that I could add is the structure, the two structures really that are then primarily by the president's office himself. There's the presidential coordinating council, where all the different premiers sit, and on occasion the PMV is expected to go and present it on where that gets done in provinces, and amongst the premiers and the mayor, the president holds people accountable in that meeting because such type of results are presented there and an indication of a breakdown of what exactly is happening at provincial level. Secondly, what we've also done through the president's office, which we have mentioned here before, is ensuring that the performance agreements that the minister enter into with the president are very clear about the extent to which ministers are going to be held accountable to deliver on certain outcomes, and the expectation is that those outcomes that they are dedicated with are reflected in the strategies and APPs, and that they ensure that their deputy ministers and DGs performance agreements have got the same time. Now, admittedly, this is a process that remains work in progress, but it's one of the ways in which we try and ensure that there is accountability and there is, you know, discussion around what is coming out there. Because I felt the question that was being asked is if this then so what, and who gets held accountable. Lastly, when we bring the MTS chairperson, I think we will give in November to come and table the MTS, there are going to be quite interesting results that come out there, and this will be guided by the weave and yourself. What we intend to ensure and demonstrate very clearly is what did we find last year, and what happened since, and who are departments that still require assistance. What I'm appealing for from Honorable Mudau is that when we table the MPEP results, yes, they are about our work as PME, and they are an extent, they are an indication of the type of work that we do to hold others accountable. But I'd like to believe that this growing realization that that's not the only work that we do. So when we get measures around why we do what we do as expected, and how we deliver on the role that we've been given. It's not only about MPE. We need to be coming to the portfolio committee to table the evaluation results. What we find in terms of evaluating programs and how can we get assistance from the portfolio committee, among other things that we can do here. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I also heard that members of the company need to maybe talk about monitoring and evaluation and then being able to enforce that. Not only recommend, but be able to, because currently that's what we are lacking. Holding people responsible, holding people to account. We'll have to talk about that at some point. Maybe the workshop will present that opportunity. We might talk about that during the workshop.
And just to say, when if we have a space for us to participate in some way or come to the workshop, what would also be helpful for us is if we inform portfolio committee members about instances where in other countries, in addition to the political mandate, even the legal framework in place that define the work of a department like ours. Let me just mention that.
You are invited at the workshop. You are invited. Maybe those are things that we have to talk about during the workshop. You are invited. Yeah, monitoring evaluation is invited at the workshop. So, yeah, maybe let's leave it at that. But thank you very much for the presentation. I don't think the members wanted to raise anything further. I think they are satisfied. Well, excuse me. Members, just to deal with one item, which is a short clear copy.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I thought I thought with the up of the slide, there was an issue raised by member that came this morning regarding the minutes. Do you want to raise that again so that we put that in record?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm concerned that we are not approving of the minutes of our meetings on a regular basis and that we are building up a backlog in this regard. And I propose that we request the staff to address this backlog urgently so that hopefully we will be able to approve of all our minutes of this year, except perhaps for the last one or two sets of minutes. Before we go on recess. Thank you.
We want money to be processed. We cannot have for a special meeting for minutes long time. Every time, at least after 2 weeks, we must have our minutes. So I don't know what is the backlog now. It might be more than a group. Yeah, 6 months. It's a lot. I don't know what process that is.
No, I was just saying, you did raise the issue of minutes. I think there's a lag between the having a full length of energy in terms of the controlling committee.
Oh, yeah, maybe put one of those that. Please, let's get anything about.
Not next week.
The other week, because next week is the workshop.
Alright,
noted. Can we then go through the. If you have the program?
Chair Manu, I have questions to the Governance Council, which is us, in the afternoon following 3. Is that still happening
today?
No, next week, on the 11th.
The 11th is Wednesday.
And the questions to the Governance Council,
yes.
Okay, so that is still
on.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Daniel Boyd. Yeah, we know. We've noted your apology this morning. We're dealing with the last item, which is just a reflection on the workshop that will be held on the 10th. No, the 11th. When is this not on the 10th?
Yeah,
it can't be on the 11th. Because I'm also of the impression that the workshop is on the 10th.
Definitely can't be the
Initially we played for the 11 and 12. When
not 10 and 11.
No. It was 11 and 12 when the neighbor changed to only one day of which then it was 11. And then it was approved, I think, by the Austria as well. But I wish you knew about the master on that.
We will not be able to process all this between 8 and half past 2. It's too short. And then if we take a decision to cancel the workshop, it means we'll never have it. We'll be canceling it for the fourth time now. This workshop it has always been there. It came before the parliamentary schedule. Yeah? Parliament program. It has always been there for the performance. It has been cancelled because it clashes with it, the clashes with it. So it was prior to this programming and then it a priority so. And clashing is a very important day. If we ask questions it means we must be ready or not prepared. Last month?
I know that two of my colleagues have a problem on that day of attending, but that's another issue. My suggestion to you is if we need to go ahead on the 11th, is that we shorten dramatically the arrival, registration, welcoming and opening, because that is an hour and 20 minutes. So I mean, if we register between 8 and 8.30, start at 8.30, we really can shorten that dramatically.
What's your stage, yeah? There's a proposal that we start at 8. Other things of registering and all that will follow. But the program will start immediately at 8. So that's a proposal. Then it gives us how many hours before half past 2? And also, Ramapur is not there. Ramapur will be part of our workshop, which takes another hour. Okay, let's start at 8. And then if we have one candidate now who will be able to be part of this workshop. And then maybe we lessen the lunch time. It was going to be important that Ramaswar is there. I agree with you. In fact, we need to know that Khadeh will be
there. Exactly.
But it's also harassment, isn't it? It's not
enough.
But if we have them today, I don't see us getting it again.
Sarah is the first thing. If you get the rules fast, it seems that you start working quite early. Then you can go into the state of the issue.
Oh, okay.
Parliament opens early, and then you go ahead. You see. Mm-hmm. What is going to be the action of the city? It's really just January. Not January.
No, I was saying that it's not too far from it's a point, but I was going to say, without knowing what it was going to say, is to say, let's make an application for a special commission to have all meetings in the general chamber, also with board ministers and the other commissions. Because the other one, just another suggestion, January, and in fact, you're doing two things. Another special application, especially application within maybe even up to 3 weeks before the 11th.
parliament raises, we can request for a special meeting if members are available. If members are available, we'll check your availability and availability of both ministers. And then I don't see professors having a problem because the universities will be closed by themselves. Okay. I think previously we said that there's no workshop next week. It clashes with a very important program of this committee. Questions? So we have to contend with that. Yeah. All right. Any other issues that members want us to deal with?
Chair, I want to propose a condolence motion and that we as a portfolio committee ask of you to convey our condolences to the minister on the loss of his mother, and that we will be thinking of him and his family at this time and be having in our thoughts and prayers. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
We are 100% disappointed on that, and the way we have dealt with that with the Honorable Delegate. I was wondering whether it is possible also for you to attend that, and I know it's a my sentence also to say you may also be present at the work of the so that we can catch up and make that one of the members.
Okay, another last important issue, why we wrote in that one. A letter dated 6 August 2015 from the Minister of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation requesting Parliament to recommend certain candidates for the appointment to the Board of the National Youth Development Agency in terms of Section 9 of the National Youth Development Agency Act 2008, number 54 of 2008. This has been brought to our attention. Yes, with respect, it was brought to my attention this morning. I'm surprised because this letter was written on the 6th of August. As to why it took so long?
When the phone calls.
don't distract me. Okay. The first issue is that we need to place an asset. This vacancy must be filled before the 31st of March, because the term of the board is ending on the 31st of March. So it means between now and sometimes second week of February must be able to deliver those decisions. We are going to follow the same route that we did with PNC, not doing this for the first time anyway. That makes our life easier. We'll have a fair representative for the smaller committee that will then deal with the interviews, shortlist, listing, fitting, and finally giving recommendations. Is that in order? Okay. Because we have time frames, we have to finish this before February. I am proposing that the advent must go now. Maybe the latest next week Tuesday, and then it must be there for a period of 2 weeks. And then in January, we come back, we shortlist, and we interview. In addition, Chair, next week also members should also give input participants and they use that way. They should bring the name so that we can endorse them and make recommendation appropriately for the interim panel. Thank you, Mama. Also, next week, we're not getting any meeting here. I'm sorry.